Hello and welcome to another episode of the Plus 63 HP Podcast Reviews Edition. I am one of your hosts, John Clemente. Alongside with me are two of my best friends. First up, the man in red, the man with a pink headset, the man who was with my mother in the jungles of Peru researching spiders, is Chubax.
Hello, yes, Chubax. Your co-host today, and I'm so excited for our review today.
Me too. Our other best friend on the call today, the man from the West Coast, the man that walks the streets of, I'm assuming, New York, barefoot for no apparent reason, is Arnie.
Yeah, that would be a more interesting movie. Hi, good morning. Hello there. Yeah.
And if you have not seen any of our episodes, the Plus63HP stable of podcasts has a couple of different shows, including this one, who drops usually earlier in the week, Mondays and Tuesdays. We deep dive into a particular TV show or a movie of the week. We discuss it. We give our opinions. We give our ratings. So you have a little bit of an insight whether you should watch it yourself with your friends or your family. We also have our very, very first D&D campaign running almost 2 years now. That drops usually middle of the week around Wednesday. A couple of middle-aged guys and a little lady finally got into D&D, recorded it for posterity, and we're sharing it for you guys as entertainment. Maybe you can join our adventures as well. We also have a show usually dropping around Thursdays, a collection of featurettes, clips, short videos, trailers that we react to and see whether we are hyped for that particular content. So that's pretty fun as well. And on occasion, Trubux and our other best friend, RJ, can't get enough of D&D, so they spin a second campaign where they are bad guys. So we have a lot of content dropping almost regularly for your viewing pleasure. On this particular episode, we are discussing one of the cinematic masterpieces
that
dropped in 2024. Did drop in 2024, right?
It just dropped last month, I think.
Yeah. It dropped February 12, 2024.
And it's out on digital already.
Already out in digital because we just...
God, I wonder why.
Yeah, we just want a lot more people
to
enjoy this.
You have to share it.
This piece of art. But before I pass it along to Chubax and Arnie for initial non-spoilery reactions about the video, a bit of stats of this topic of discussion for today. Madame Web, directed by S.J. Clarkson. Not really a familiar name. A lot of her IMDb list or her expertise are from episodes of TV, but these are not particularly like bad television shows. You have Anatomy of a Scandal, you have Succession, you have The Defenders from Netflix.
This is the director? The director?
Netflix. Yeah, she directed two episodes of The Defenders, two episodes of Jessica Jones. Vinyl from HBO is a
Succession as well. Series.
Succession as well.
Oh, so it's not her fault.
Vinyl, huh? No wonder.
Vinyl, yeah. So, but you know, she has Heroes 3 episodes, Dexter 3 episodes, a lot of very recognizable.
Yeah, so
series here with top stars. So
it's not gonna be her fault.
Well, I don't know. It's, I mean, in the end, it's like
not the okay. We could talk more about those.
Yeah, that's, if your name is on something, you're part of that fault. But the screenplay was written by Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless. They also don't have a long list of discography in terms of the movies that they wrote, but I think the most of note is Morbius. So yeah, that's a little flag there. But
so I think it's his fault.
It's Morbin time. Yeah,
they wrote the most recent Power Rangers, which I thought was a good movie. Gods of Egypt, that's a little one of those. We just have a lot of money for visual effects and a couple of stars. Let's do that. Last Witch Hunter, which is one of those
I like that. I
Vin
like that.
Diesel movies, and Dracula Untold.
Elijah.
That's eye candy thing with
I like that too.
yeah, it was a pretty decent movie. So again, written, but also S.J. Clarkson was part of the screenplay credits here. Starring Dakota Johnson, everybody knows 50 Shades of Grey, Sydney Sweeney, everybody knows her tits. Isabella Merced, very popular lady too.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Dora herself, Celeste O'Connor. Celeste O'Connor is the, I mean, among the three major lead ladies.
Where have I seen her? I've seen her before, though.
She is from a Ghostbusters Afterlife. She is
Oh,
psychedelic
okay, so that's her.
futurist.
Okay.
She's also going to be in the upcoming Frozen Empire. Freaky, which is that body switch movie with Vince Vaughn. She's there
Okay.
too. So, not too bad.
He's pretty too.
But yeah. And we have a couple of minor interstitial characters here, which most of which most notably Adam Scott
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, but like the HBO series that
Severance.
is Severance is just killer everything. Mike Epps, who had probably like 2 minutes story time. I don't know who Tahara Hamid and Emma Roberts are, but they're there as well. Again,
Yeah,
it
Emma
only
Roberts
has a
is
runtime.
Peter Parker's mom.
It's Mary Parker.
Mary Parker, yeah, but like I've never seen her in other movies
Emma
before.
Roberts, she's been in a lot of slasher. She's the niece of Julia Roberts.
But you're right. It's very familiar. It's just like one of those things.
Scream, American History, American Horror Story.
Was she in that Pitch Perfect? But I don't think it is. But
No.
a lot of slashers, you're right. Scream Queens, there you go. It is it has a runtime of 116 minutes, so just shy of 2 hours,
Thank
which
God.
is
Too long.
maybe like 100 minutes long. It only has a budget of 80 million, which we'll discuss for me is fairly impressive for what the things that they've done. And a box office of an astounding, I'm very impressed, $97.2 million. And for those
Whoa.
people out there who are thinking about or like, oh, they made more than their budget. When we're talking about movies, the criteria, the boundary is at least twice. So if you're double your budget, you're good. And then if you're triple, that's when we're starting to say that it's great. So at $80 million, you'd get to see positive returns once you hit $160 million. So this movie is way, way under that. So those are the stats. It's on digital
Yeah,
right now, which is
I think I spoke with my wife about this one, that Lisa Frankenstein made more money technically than this one.
there you go. I
And
think a lot more movies made more money than this. Like Past Lives made way more money than this with like a fraction of the budget. But before we dive into the synopsis and the more of our thoughts about Madame Web, Arnie, what is your non-spoilery initial reaction about this movie as soon as you finish this?
Thank God for Sydney Sweeney.
Okay, in depth, Chubax.
Yeah, this is like, I don't know, it's like uninspired, I guess this is the word.
Cash grab.
I mean, it didn't look bad visually, but I don't know, this is like, there was no heart, there was no emotion, no connection. I didn't feel for the characters, for the story. It's just like, oh, we'll get
It's
into the
really, yeah.
nitty-gritty,
Yeah,
but
I can't agree with you.
Well, actually, I know this scored very low, has very, very bad reviews everywhere. What I will say, it's not that bad. It's bad. It's
I
bad.
agree.
It is a
I don't know.
it
For me, it was
my
as
wife
bad.
asked me,
I think it was
so
as bad as I expected it. And like I was
I
telling Jong, IGN scored this a 5 and Damsel a 3. That's I
I don't
vehemently
agree with the
disagree.
I don't agree I don't agree with the scores of both movies. I think Damsel would have been way higher. This could have been a lot lower, but from the reviews that I've listened to the week of this launch about people like saying that this is so bad that it's gonna have a cult following, it's not that bad. Like, I don't think it's gonna have a cult following
Yeah.
because it's not that bad. It's not like Rocky Horror Picture Show
No,
bad. It's not like
I don't think it's gonna be a cult, because usually those cult following movies, they have an element of fun.
and they
You know
have
what I
character,
mean?
and they have
Yeah,
character in it.
and
That's why
it
I
may
disagree
suck,
with
but
you
there are
that.
moments where this was just like,
So
blah.
yeah.
I don't
No,
know.
that's what I agree with. Like, I don't think this is gonna have a cult following because it doesn't have that love in it too. So that's what I
Just
think. But it's not that bad. It's not as horrible as people I have seen. But the point that my thing is, because it's not that horrible, it means it's not going to be memorable for the future.
it's not, it's not.
Right,
And
that's my thing. That's why I was so surprised when I saw this. I was like, all right, I mean, okay. It's way longer than expected. Of course, though, there's plot holes that could have been written. There's something about, I want to figure out what happened with the ADR of Ezekiel Sims, why every single line that he had to be dubbed over. That's the thing that fucks me
because
up the
it's
most.
fucked.
Right?
Well, before we
So,
continue, let's welcome our
let's welcome
special
our
guest.
fourth chair, Danny
Yes.
Boy. How are you doing?
Good, can you hear me?
A little
Yeah.
weak. Make it a little, if you can make it a little louder. We can hear you,
Oh,
but it's a,
this is what you get.
there we go. Yeah, there, that's better. That's better.
Wait, Danny Boy, were you able to watch Madam Web?
No, he's here
No.
to see our
I'm
reactions,
in.
and then next week, if he makes it back, he'll agree or disagree with our. He will review our review. He will review our
Yes.
review.
All right. But yeah, so that's the case. Like I've heard reviews. Like I've just finished listening to the reviews of the Ringerverse crew, the Midnight Boys, and they are ripping this to shreds. They think that this was like 2 hours of wasted time. I don't think it's, yes, it's a waste of time. I wasn't puking at the end of it. To be honest, my personal opinion, I think Aquaman was a little worse.
I don't
But
know.
Aquaman was funny.
Aquaman was
Yes.
funny. It was trying to
Yes.
be funny. I just thought that Aquaman was a little worse because you can really see, like, even if you didn't tell me that Jason Momoa was going through a divorce during the shooting, I thought, like, oh my God, he's going through something. So this one is just like the perfect word Chewbacca already has mentioned. It's just uninspired. Like, none of them think that they are, I don't think that they're enjoying their time there. They're just like running through the lines. Dakota Johnson was like, all right, okay, you're acting a little bit. That's how I would react around three obnoxious little ladies, too. But yeah, everything else, like, I don't know what Ezekiel Sims is the thing that confuses me the most. Like, what's up with that character? But with that, all right, that's initial reactions. Let's just dive into the plot so that we can interject and talk about all the things that had happened there. All right, I'm gonna throw open it up. Who wants to do the synopsis?
I'll fucking do
Oh,
it. I will.
there's a plot.
I'll go through
I think the plot was
it.
very clear. Like,
Really? Is it?
yes, the mother went to the jungles of Peru to research spiders.
Okay, so apparently her ma what's her mom's name? Did I even
Oh, we
say it?
Constance.
Constance
Constance.
Webb. So Constance Webb. Of course it's Webb. We start in the jungles of whatever jungle, And she's pregnant. She's like in the last month of her pregnancy, looking for spiders, something about the healing spider and stuff. And then when she finally finds this particular spider, her bodyguard, who's supposed to be protecting her, Ezekiel Sims, am I correct? Shoots her and steals the spider. Why? We don't know. He goes with a speech about being was that like not getting his due or something like that, like what basically, he deserves.
Basically, he's been researching or looking for the spider and the Las Arañas people as well to get there.
Basically told her like you have white privilege.
He wants the spider to get the legendary powers that Constance wants to make it into a cure
for a medicine. Mm-hmm. So as she's shot with a baby, I think even it's like in the abdominal area, the Las Arañas arrive. And this,
they could not have gone that earlier.
No, and the
they didn't want to show.
No, but this is what I'm talking about. This is how many Spider-Man movies has Sony done? Like 3, 2, 3. So that's 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the shots of
the Miles movies,
Venom,
plus the Miles movies.
But these Las Arañas,
the movements were like. It's just.
Oh no, they did not have any budget. They had what, two people?
It was just somebody rappelling, and their costumes were so bad. What was that? It was like Danny, imagine like the webbing in the suit, but instead of webbing, it's vines, and then there's nothing. There's no suit. It's just vines.
I actually preferred that because, like, why would they have real suits? They're in the jungle.
I understand. It makes sense. It just looks ugly as fuck. I think they had like body paint or something to make it like orange.
Yeah,
they had
a little bit of body paint.
It did not look.
They could have just done either a Mayan or Incan inspired.
So weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, they bring her to this
cave. I like that you're all struggling to explain this to me.
So they bring Constance Webb to this pond in a cave. Why? We don't know, because apparently all she needed was a spider. So there's no explanation on what that pond was there of that.
Oh, they were trying to birth the kid.
Okay, so.
Or they didn't want to do it in the in public or outside, I guess. I didn't have any trouble with that, like bringing back the victim to the base. My problem was, Ezekiel Sims was trying to look for this spider for years, and then this white lady from New York, who's 9 months pregnant, found it within 10 minutes of the movie.
Uh-huh. And then she gets
bit, put it in a jar, and started announcing it too. Like, I found it. Look. Okay.
And then the spider bites Constance, but says, "Fuck you, Constance. I'm just going to give powers to your baby, but you're still going to die.
You're going to die.
I can heal anything except a gunshot,
except a bullet wound. That
bullet wound.
Technically, so, could still be fixed by medicine in 1973.
And then we get this fucking exposition of, "Oh, don't worry, I will be here when your daughter returns."
I was trying to.
Is that a threat?
I was trying to think about one, poor writing. Like one, like why would she come back? Okay, sure. Let's say you have the foresight too. I can see the future too. Sure. Right. Okay. So you're going to say that your kid is going to be back here looking for answers. All right. Not only have you ruined the movie towards the end, but also now it doesn't make 100% sense. Or you don't explain why Dakota Johnson or Cassie Webb will even come back to that place, right? So that's where it's like, oh, come on. That's just poor writing right there.
Yeah, and the thing is, okay, so she was born in the middle of the jungle, and then somehow still ends up in the U.S. with no issues. Up in New
York. With paper, she has a Peruvian birth certificate and everything. Yeah. Well, they did say that she grew up in foster care, right?
So. Yeah, but still, again, for you to get to foster care in the U.S., you have to get to the U.S.
So anyways, we time jump.
Okay.
To her being an adult in New York, and her. I didn't know this. Did you guys know this? That her partner was Ben Parker.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that.
I was kind of... Yeah, I was...
Coincidence? I think not.
And it was, for me, it was already kind of like... The biggest complaint of the other reviewers that I've seen about this movie is like, you have such a big Spider-Man name and you relegate her... You relegate him to a couple of scenes... That is barely, you know, has no real importance. Even like towards the end, where he has a little bit of role within the story, he doesn't do anything.
So nothing. Yeah. So we finally meet Ben Parker as a young man, and he's basically doesn't do anything, as you said. So, anyways, they're paramedics, and we just get the scene of them kind of banter around where they're. Apparently, they're both awkward socially and stuff. And then we get this locker room scene where they're talking and Ben says she met someone. And it's so special. And then she didn't even... And when he was going to drop the name, something happened. They were talking about
they
the... Look at
each other.
No, the cookie, the fortune cookie, right? It and it's like they get distracted, so they didn't even say May. And then, before that, through random happenstance, she, Cassie meets or just cross paths with the three ladies.
Yeah.
So one is like a relative of somebody she saved, so they saw her in the hospital.
That first person that they saved is a stepdaughter.
Sydney Sweeney, yeah.
Sydney Sweeney.
She sees, what's called, Maddie Franklin. She almost runs her over on her skateboard. And she
flips off an ambulance, which is kind of like, that's dumb. I know, right? Like, so it's a fucking ambulance. And what if somebody was dying? So...
And then in her apartment building, she sees Isabella Merced's Anya Corazon. So after that, and then we meet Ezekiel Sims again, who apparently has powers now. And then he has this really ugly ass looking condo where there's nothing except this aquarium.
Spider aquarium.
Tree aquarium with the spider in the middle.
Like, I didn't even notice the...
It's just so fucking weird. And he goes into a... What concert? Was it an opera? Or I didn't even...
It's an opera.
An opera to seduce an NSA...
A hot NSA agent.
Agent for her password. And then she has sex with her and she kills her. And then we get this... he dreams. And this is the scene that we get in the trailer where the three spider... Women. Julia, Anya, and Maddie killing him in his dream. So this is his motivation. He has a dream of being killed by the three, and he's trying to find them to kill them. Because he keeps repeating it, because they're gonna destroy everything I've built. We have no idea what the fuck he built. We know he's rich.
He knows he's rich. That's one thing.
He has a hacker.
He has a suit, at least.
He hired a hacker.
How did he become rich by being Las Araña powered dude?
Well, yeah, if you're very strong.
Maybe an assassin, maybe.
Yeah, if you're strong, or you're just like a thief.
But we didn't see any we didn't see any life. He didn't have any life. And he keeps saying, this life I built. What did you build? He's just been obsessed with these three girls and trying to kill them. So anyways, this character has no personality at all. I don't think it's any of these actors' fault. It's just it's the writing.
And again, so jump a little bit forward. Like, even his costume. Okay, so they call him Ceiling Man. Like, even the three girls could not associate him with a spider until, like, they said, oh, he's almost like crawling on the wall.
Like a spider.
So it's kind of like a spider. So no wonder people like J. Jonah Jameson hated Spider-Man, maybe because they remembered Ceiling Man. I don't know.
And see, that's the thing where they really didn't think about it too much. So if there was a...
I think they thought about it too much. That's a problem.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if there is a man with almost the same, just darker toned suit as the very popular Spider-Man in the 90s, 2000s, like, again, like, the suit almost looks exactly the same, just black.
Yeah.
It looks like they just traded the wardrobe department from the previous movie.
Yeah,
like,
and then no one remembered this guy. But also, that's the other thing too. Like, this guy, Rick some havoc in New York for a while, and nobody remembers a guy in a suit, but they remember a white lady.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if we are assuming Tom Holland's Spider-Man is here, right? Then that means in the 2003s, there should have been some Avengers there at that
point. And by the timeline, if those ladies are like, they would have been established by the time Peter Parker became Spider-Man.
But because the future was changed, because they survived, right?
Yeah.
They weren't able to kill. So maybe that's a reason why there's a branching path of the future.
Oh, it's a multiverse now.
Anyways, okay.
Again, 2003. Nick Fury should have been there. He should have been at least there. Looking
known about this Las Arañas too.
Yeah, because at that point he already met Captain Marvel, and he's now looking for super powered humans to start his Avengers initiative. Right? How come he wasn't there?
So, anyways,
I probably didn't bother with that.
Cassie goes. Saves this there's an accident and a car is about to fall off a bridge.
Yeah.
And the this two of them scene. Arnie, you know more paramedics. What's the standard operating? I don't think they're supposed to go in that car without it being stable, they should have secured, right?
I mean, I'm not a paramedic, but I talk to them a lot.
It's a car. I think one guy could have stabilized that car.
They could at least stabilize the car.
There's also like a fireman that will always kind of like make sure that it's secure before any other person. Because like that's the point, right? You don't want to add more casualties.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
as soon as she goes in, she cuts the guy loose from the seatbelt, and she stays there doing nothing, while Ben is able to pull him out while she's staying there and not going out.
It's almost like that scene in Austin Powers. Oh, there's a steamroller, and it's like, oh, it's 100 feet away from you. You could still run away. You know? Exactly.
So the car falls into the water. She hits the windshield, and we get a spider web.
Of course.
I think. And then it starts branching out into this, probably the most CGI scene of the, which kind of looked okay. I like the branching, the light branching out.
Uh-huh.
And then she wakes up in the hospital, right? Yeah.
No, she was woken
up by CPR.
By CPR, which, okay, if there's anything good that came out of this movie is that they teach CPR.
Yeah, I went through CPR training in
although her CPR sucked, that person would have died the way she did CPR. At least the three girls did a decent enough job with the CPR.
Yeah, at least it wasn't with the elbows, right? Like, it was straight and then it was the shoulder.
2 inches deep, continuous, until, like, that was a very important when I took my CPR training a couple of months ago that, no, you just keep on doing it until, you know, help arrives. So you have help to have, arrives. Substitute to keep on continuing the pace. I was like, all right, that was a very in-depth.
Yeah. Now, so she was revived. Apparently she drowned. And then they were testing her vitals. Okay. As somebody, as a healthcare professional, that was rough. Her blood pressure is really low. She wouldn't be able to sit down with that blood pressure. And then her O2 sats will be like 89 is not good enough. You have to be above 92%, especially post drowning. But whatever. It's they just want to move along and all that. Maybe she's super powered. I was expecting that. Oh, maybe it will activate her powers. You know, her metabolism is maybe slower than most humans. Okay,
so,
I forgave
we
it.
Continue, and then we have a house, a baby shower for young Peter Parker. We meet Mary.
It was.
I didn't even clock it until Katrina, my wife, said like. And she wasn't even paying attention. She just saw this scene where she introduced herself as Mary, and the father was Richard. And then, yeah, Kyle was like, "Oh, that's Peter's parents." Well, so it is Ben Parker. And yeah, he was out in a different country, so Ben was taking care of Mary, her sister-in-law. And then we see how socially awkward Cassie is, and I do like, I'll just give this to it, I do like the time loops, how they did it, because it's
surprisingly
this scene, that some of the initial ones, the start where she's trying to figure out what's happening, because it's kind of a loop, you don't see the cut. That's what I like. That's why I like
it's
it.
It's not
like,
just like, you know, it's not too much of a vision. Like, it is kind of, again, it is kind of like you're right, a loop. But like,
it's not like jarring. You know what I mean? It's like, it just, to her, it's like really a loop where
it's deja vu.
She doesn't notice that it restarted. You know what I mean?
I know. I think. In this movie, that's the thing that I was very, very surprised with. I thought that even the effects was going to be super bad. The sets were weird and stuff like that. But all of the, you know, effects that they showed was pretty okay with me. It was much more grounded than,
yeah, because
than
there
I
wasn't,
would have expected.
There wasn't really any action that needed effects, in a sense.
Exactly.
That's why it wasn't jarring.
the web... The first time that she awakened, you know, after her drowning, and then she saw and started touching the web and starting having different visions. I kind of liked it. I mean, I thought it was
a
good representation, because I don't like the well, I know limited amount of Madame Web in the comics, but like this old lady sitting in a chair in a web of whatever I thought like, oh, are we gonna end up with something like that? But
we
this one was a lot more.
We kind of did.
We kind of did, bro.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think we will be anymore.
Yeah, true. So she starts getting these loops, and then it causes the death of one of the paramedics, because again, she doesn't quite believe it yet. So when she gets a vision of one of their coworkers getting hit by a car, she didn't fight hard enough, and he dies. So that's what kind of proves to her that the vision is real. And then she gets depressed, and then we get this scene with the bird hitting her apartment window, and then
that was a clean
again.
Window.
I know. And then she goes to the subway, and this is where the action starts, where she sees the vision of Ezekiel killing those three girls in the same car. And also, on the side, Ezekiel got access to the NSA and hired a hacker. Do we even get her name?
No, nope. he mentioned her name, but I forgot. She said it once. Just the first name.
Okay, and then she just has this throwaway line where, oh, we're killing those three persons who are going to kill you, but they're only teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
But then she doesn't fight anymore after that. So he goes to the subway to try to kill them. And then Cassie corrals them.
A little sidebar on that NSA thing. Like, really, that is a bad fail safe for NSA. Like, oh, one person could just Because I remember in one of your jobs, Chubox, you had if you're under duress, this is the passcode you use. And if you're not, this is the passcode you use. I would imagine the NSA would use the same, at least more advanced version of that. So like,
Yeah,
so
and
at
if
least if I
somebody's missing, then you disable the password,
yeah, plus she
or you'll
hasn't
be able
showed
to
up for
track
work
it.
and they used her badge. So he had to look like her. To use, I mean, I would imagine it's not, I mean, especially in 2003, it's not that easy to just basically brute force the NSA, whatever. But whatever, especially with that power too, because you know, as we know from Edward Snowden, that's a very powerful tool. This is how you spend it, finding three girls.
So anyways, let me clear it. So Ezekiel comes into the car, right? And he's not wearing the suit. Am I right? He comes
He's
in
not.
with this regular like neck
Suit.
tie suit and kills them, and then that's a vision. So she corrals them out and she sees he sees them out, and that's when while they're running in the subway, that's when he comes as ceiling ceiling man.
Stealing man.
He comes in a ceiling man. And the police think that Cassie's the kidnapper, so they're arresting her, and then he Ezekiel comes in. Does he have a villain name? Is it just
Nope, ceiling man.
ceiling
Well, in the
man?
comics, he's
What is he?
Ceiling man.
Ceiling
Ceiling man. Yeah,
man.
we'll stick with ceiling man. And
And
so he kills the police, but Cassie and the other three are able to escape. They steal a taxi. There's kind of good chemistry between the three girls, but they don't have anything to work with. It's with the writing, which is sad because I mean, I've seen some of the interviews and they really have good chemistry, the three, but and you see some of it in the movie, but there's just their character's so empty that they haven't anything to work with.
It's so empty because the way that they were put together is so weird. It's like I can't think of a way to have three random people forge a bond when they were essentially kidnapped, right? So that's for me that the biggest hole and the thing that I don't think can ever be fixed by anything. This needs to be like written way in advance is how to make why did they make Cassie Webb saving the three kids into kidnapping, right? So I it's weird because like in the end that's just how everything is. So if it were a kidnapping, just go to the fucking police and clear your name, right? How are you going to be able to fly commercial, go to Peru,
Wait, we're
and
not
you have
there
like
yet.
a
We're not
fucking
there.
warrant for your arrest?
We're not there. Maybe they
We're
don't
not
know who
there
she
yet.
is. We don't know, just a woman.
It's
So
2003. No Facebook yet.
they steal a cab and she brings them to
The
what park
jungle.
is this? What is this, the New York park or
Is
New
this upstate?
Jersey?
It's probably like, you know, I was thinking if it's in the city, that's, you know, Central Park has some forests.
Wikipedia
Yeah.
even says she steals a taxi and takes Julia, Anya, and Maddie out of the city to hide them in a nearby forest. And she
It's
leaves
probably
them.
again there are some forests in New York, but that's 3 or 4 hours upstate. And there's no park in the in New York where there is a
A
diner half a
diner.
mile.
So she leaves them there. She goes home and she investigates this journal that she's probably seen a million times, probably read a million times, but never understood or remembered anything. So she has to go see that it's in Peru. Her mom and it's Ezekiel. She notices that Ezekiel is the in the picture with his mom in a weird angle for the photo.
That was a weird photo.
And then she goes back, but before she goes back, the three get well, they're fucking stuck in a fucking jungle, but apparently Maddie notices that there's a diner half a click away, so they go there. We see some banter where One is the daughter of a rich parent but's neglected. Another one doesn't have a father. Oh, her father got deported, so she's been living by herself, trying to make it to 18 so that she doesn't. I don't know what the foster care or something.
Well, you can emancipate yourself. So yeah,
probably has papers, so she's not gonna be deported. And then another one, who's living with the with her dad and stepmom, who don't want her. So they go to the diner, and then Cassie comes back, but when she gets there, they're gone, and she has this vision of them killing. So this is where it kind of sucks now, where they go to the, they already had this nice loop thing where it's not jarring, and then they do the normal thing where it's really jarring, where she has this vision and then it cuts and then she's in the junk in the forest by herself, and then feeling getting stabbed, and then we get this she hears this song in the radio in the diner where when Ezekiel's killing the girls. So when she goes back to reality, she hears that song pop up on the car, so she knows that she has a time limit. And
which is okay. I love that little wrinkle. That's smart. But among the hundreds of radio stations, you were able to find it's the same, it within it's the same.
And yeah. And then before we go down,
amazing.
They can't even decide because like. So in the radio station, it's, oh, this song's going to be a hit by Britney Spears. But in the diner, the girls are already dancing to it and they know the lyrics. And it's toxic, by the way. If you don't know the song, it's toxic. And I tried to see if it really came out in 2003, but I just didn't care enough to hear it. But whatever.
Anyways, before we jump to the reality, in the vision, Ezekiel kills, or we see the vision of Ezekiel killing Sydney.
The three of them.
I don't think he got to Anya. That's when Cassie arrived and then got killed. She kills and Matty. But there's some scenes here where they try to make it cool or like the scene where the camera, when he flips, the camera flips. And I didn't like it because it kind of loses the movement of the flip. If you know what I mean, it's like
I think they're hiding the wires.
Yeah, maybe, but it's kind of like you. It's like the opposite of you know how in cool. Stuntman reacts, diba, where they say the camera follows Jackie Chan to feel the movement. This one took it too much, where he flipped, so the camera flipped, but then I lost the feeling of. Seeing a guy standing on the ceiling, because
they were trying to
when
be,
they showed
Inception.
It to me, he was standing on the floor. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
I kind of lost.
They're trying to be. They're trying to be Inception. Because remember Inception, that scene?
I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Well, also I think it's easier to kind of like hide the wires that is keeping him up if you follow it. Also, but you know, speaking of camera movement, they're doing this digital zoom. Whenever there's an action scene that's like. Really jarring, like goes in like zoop, 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 like trying to, you know, that's just, you know, so, it seems like
I guess they're trying to save money for like, let's hide the green screen.
Yeah, but also like the director is not a master of movement if you have to keep on doing artificial movements like that. But yeah.
So
anyways, he rushes here in this taxi and somehow knows that Ezekiel will be just the only guy there, and then he rams it on the diner and hits only Ezekiel. And
perfect timing.
And then get in the car, and then just go away. Like, okay.
And then Ezekiel grabs her arm for a few seconds and poisons her, but doesn't really do anything. It just makes it hurt a little bit, like give her cramps on the arm. And then like, what? And then
because when he killed that NSA agent, he really met. Oh yeah, it's poison now, and you know, before the paralysis hits your lips, you better talk and tell me the password. Meanwhile, with Dakota, like, oh yeah, it's a cramp. Wow,
it's just powers.
Wait, yeah, remind me still... when? So after the escape, She brings them to Ben Parker's house, right? Mm-hmm. When does she have that?
After the escape, they do motel first.
Okay, motel first. And this is where she does this speaking to Ezekiel in the vision thing, which I do not understand.
Well, why. Before that, we skipped the important part. She tried to ditch the kids. Mm-hmm. She was trying to leave the kids, like, all y'all.
She kept saying it multiple times. Oh, your parents can handle that. Like, your parents can handle
You're leaving the ceiling three man. Teenagers in a motel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she has this vision where she's talking to Ezekiel. And I don't know. Is it what? Like, she's tapping into a parallel universe where she goes to him and they talk? I don't know. That's me just trying to justify it. Because...
Well, you have to have a villain monologue, you know.
But and then he has to say, if I held on longer, you would have been dead.
Like, what? Well, why didn't you then?
Yeah. And then and this is where like the powers weirds, like he can jump from buildings, but opening a hard door on his face will knock him out.
Right? That is true. I mean, again, the superpowers are powerful until the director says that you have to be knocked out.
So they take refuge in Ben's house because she says that she has to go to Peru to find answers. We forgot the scene where she tries to be Spider-Man and tries to crawl to the ceiling.
That was so funny because when she jumped on the wall and crumpled down, I was like, you know what? Again. I like this.
That's not improv.
Anyways, so she goes there. She goes to Peru. And again, with the timeline, within a day or within hours of arriving, she finds the Las Arañas.
This one, I'm cheating a little bit because at first when I saw this, I literally rolled my eyes because I know this. They're just trying to move the plot along. But again, we get reminded about the first 10 minutes of the movie. The dude knows that she was going to come back. And I think she knew when and where she was going to come back.
So
and
he was just sitting there.
She was like, oh, okay, it's today. I'm going to go pick up this person and then tell him all about her birthing story.
That's why I can't forgive this, Joan, because we've seen this done better in TV shows. This exact storyline of somebody having powers or like the time loop thing and then them going to somewhere else. Not in the middle of a movie. You don't drop everything and go to Peru in the middle of an action movie. So she gets there and then he brings her to the cave and ask, do you trust me? No. And then he pushes her and we get this first, Dr. Strange.
So she leaves these three girls with Ben Parker.
And Mary.
Pregnant. And Mary. And the sister, I'm assuming it's his sister. Like, they're just okay with that? Just three random girls being left to an adult man?
Well, I mean, her sister's there.
Yeah, but still.
His sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law or whatever.
Sister-in-law.
But still.
Sister-in-law? Like,
yeah, because it's Richard Parker and Ben Parker.
Richard Parker. So.
That's why he's Peter Parker.
Okay.
The dad's Parker.
And the thing is, like, nobody was really looking for these three girls, with the exception of that trucker guy in that diner. Nobody looked for these three girls.
So we get to the cave, and he does this Doctor Strange where he pushes her, but only her astral self falls into the water.
Yeah, astral self.
Yeah, and
that
and
was actually not bad.
We get to the big twist where apparently, well, I mean, there was a line where she said, like, why would my mother go to Peru 8 months pregnant with me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and apparently she's been hating her all her life, but we didn't really, it wasn't really,
we didn't know that
emphasized, movie and stressed. And then we get so she falls in the pool and then she goes flashback to her mom talking to the doctor and saying that she has, what does she have? Like a disorder,
degenerative bone disease.
Okay, it's, so that
is a yeah.
And then she's dying, and there's no cure. That's why the mom was there looking for the cure. So, and then she's able to talk to her mom and hug her and thank her and explain that she's okay or something. Okay. And again, back to the spider who said, you know, I'll cure that bone, the degenerating bone disease of your baby, but your gunshot's fucked up.
See, I'm usually a sucker for those mom and son, mom and daughter, dad, you know, parent scenes. It's when I'm like, huh?
That's, again, it's poorly, it's such an important part. And I understand that there was like, you know, you can understand the motivations of everything, but that's such, you wasted so many things. Like, it wasn't in the story at all. It doesn't mean anything at all. You tell, not show. So that sucked. When I figured that out, like, wait, yeah, I thought that her mother was an archaeologist.
Yeah.
No, like, you're not. You're just a fucking person trying to look for a cure, which made the first part even worse. Yeah. For years, Ezekiel Sims has been trying to find that spider, and a pregnant lady found it in a few days. Oh, come on.
See, the thing is, she would have been like, if she would just, okay, let's say she got that diagnosis. If she ended up in, what's the name in Doctor Strange, the place we went?
Kamartage.
Yeah, if she ended up there, I would have believed her versus the spider.
Oh, but.
Because at least, but we skipped. At least Stephen Strange was able, you know, you could imagine, okay, somebody could find this Kamartage and somebody told him where to go. That would have been more believable than a random spider in Peru in 1973.
But we missed, like, we missed the line of the movie, or the line of the century, where the guy says, if you choose the responsibility, you will gain great power.
Oh. What the fuck? And it comes with great responsibility.
No, I tuned out when they said that, no. But also the other idea too is like they
makes me angry,
very angry. No, but especially coming off Dune, where at the expense of understanding the movie, where you're just like, hey, things are just gonna happen. Some things you'll figure out, some things you don't. This one, it's like when they expense, like, but you know, so you know, my mom's bitten a spider. I don't have the disease. I got cured, but. How come Ezekiel can like walk through walls? And yeah, it's like,
yeah, oh,
you did not get the physical power, but you've seen the gifts of the future. It's like
your mind, the vision.
Wow, can you be more clear? Can you be more clear in terms of how the powers of these special spiders?
Oh, and she drops out. Yeah, but the power of your mind is something like limitless or something, and you'll even be able to be in multiple places at once.
Okay. See, you should have led with that.
You know what?
It's almost like, okay, remember the whole joke about Aquaman being useless because, well, you're only useful in the sea? That's pretty much what our powers is. Like, oh, you're pretty much useful when we need to know the future, but if when you're fighting each other, yeah. And then, but it could be in three places? I don't remember. Why three? What's the limit? Why is three the limit?
And then we
thought she was the limitless.
Back to what Zhong said, how did she fly to Peru and back with no issues?
The same clothes.
And she didn't change, right? Yeah, I was going to say that. It's this outfit, right? The black with the red jacket and the jeans. So she comes back. Of course, at the same time she comes back, Mary goes into labor with Peter. And the three ladies go with her. Why did they go with him on the car?
They could have stayed in the house.
I do not understand.
They could have stayed in the house. With her,
and of course they're tracked by the spider. And why is there an ambulance heading to Ben Parker's place?
No, because they call. Okay, so first they called an ambulance, and then Ben Parker said, like, oh, you know, it's gonna be a few minutes or maybe it takes a while. Because
they didn't tell the ambulance that they're leaving.
There's that. And number two, like, okay, if you drove by car, you can't really skip the traffic lights because you're just a car. The ambulance could have done that.
Yeah.
Plus, you already have medical treatment, yada, yada, yada. But no, because her water broke, she really has to go. You know, your classic movie pregnancy, giving birth.
Takes hours, could even take a few days. So,
okay, my wife took forever to give birth. And... And then all of a sudden, Peter Parker's really, oh, in the baby shower, he was jumping all over her womb. Like, really? Like,
yeah, sure. Well, I mean, it happens all the time. I know. First time like, experience.
Okay.
So she steals the ambulance as the paramedics are checking. She steals another car and apparently knows where they're going. And then Ezekiel comes and attacks. Another scene here where they're stopped and then Ezekiel's high on top and then Ben's like, what is that? And then somebody from the back can see that angle. Like, Cindy Sweeney's like, oh, that's like ceiling. you can't see him from your angle. I hear from me. Anyway, so she comes and we see... So Dakota's power, Cassie's powers apparently are already controlled. So she knows where they are. She hits him from the back, like a parking structure. She comes in, hits him in the car in the back, and the ambulance doesn't.
That's some amazing suspension,
right? Yeah. And she moves the three of them, and bye bye Ben Parker. Nothing didn't do anything. Didn't do shit. She takes the three. And so this is for her where her powers are like already on overdrive and she knows everything. She makes them do things to thwart Ezekiel's attacks because she knows the future. And there's this one throwaway line in her first vision with Mike Epps in the when there was a fire and they said, oh, don't go in because this building's full of explosives. She uses that to her advantage and she brings them to that place of explosion.
They didn't clear the building. They didn't clear it.
So the building that was not condemned, was there no...
they kept the fireworks in
the building. They didn't look like explosives. It was just fireworks. And I don't think fireworks can break cement and Cassie, walls.
Cassie gave the kids like flares, right? So... explode the fireworks. Where'd she get the flares?
Oh, it's she got it from the ambulance. Apparently, there's flares there.
There's flares in the ambulance. I okay.
I think, right. I think maybe they might have.
I'm not even going to talk about
the flares burn through the crates?
I mean, the fireworks could.
Yeah, but when in the ambulance, right? Like in this scene, okay, charge the AED and because they've got it electric. Like this scene, I'm like, I know it's a powerful device to start the heart, but it's not that powerful. That
great timing, right?
So they go into this building, and with her power, she's able to guide them safely up to the ceiling. And
that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool.
The fireworks are so weird. Why are they making like crater sized holes in the ceiling? Like one after the other. Like why is it like anyways? So just because of this there all three are already like what's the term with Cassie? Like enamored or like they already have loyalty to her?
Mm-hmm.
Or something, right? Anyways,
because so she didn't abandon them.
She tried a couple of few times.
Again, they were asleep. They didn't realize that she...
No, she told them, your parents can deal with this. Like, what? So anyways, they go up the ceiling and then we get to the pivotal moment where all three of the girls were in danger of falling to a fire.
Mm.
And Ezekiel's cornered Cassie. So she does her... multiple places at the same time power, which kind of looked cool in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't work because he punched her in the in where she was, and then all of the other Cassies went back to her. And then so they go up there, and then She knows which parts of the sign was gonna break, so she was able to lure Ezekiel to her death. Yes, this
But you
line
kept
where
looking at it. So if I
I
was the guy, like,
know.
well, you keep looking at that sign. Maybe I
Yeah.
should avoid it.
Also, well, because he knows that. So here's the thing that we kind of like haven't spoken about the entire movie. This is just a giant ad for Pepsi, right? Even from the very, very beginning. The Pepsi Cola sign that's in, actually, that's not in New York, that's in New Jersey, but across Randall's Island in New York. There's that special S in his vision that is haunting him, right? And I fucking got pissed off that was the S from the Pepsi Cola sign. So I thought it was like S because of Spider-Man or shit. No, no, no. It's the S
No,
of the Pepsi Cola sign.
S means hope.
S means hope. Also, like during the barbecue, like she, like the day after she
Pepsi.
Drowned, she wanted the beers, gave her a pe- like
Pepsi.
It, every fucking vending machine is just Pepsi. I got at by the end, I got so fucking annoyed, specifically when that, you know, that, you know, when the fireworks were coming in and the S was coming down to him, I was like, fuck that shit.
And then she goes into the line, like her finishing line was like, you've been so worried about the girls. But you should have been worried, something like you should have been worried about me or something like that. And then he
died. But you weren't in the fucking vision, dum dum.
So she died. He died. He falls, and then she, and then the was it the P or the S that falls on him?
S was the one
S,
that killed
the
him.
S. Okay, it falls on him.
Yeah, but the P fell on her, and she became blind, and disabled because of it in the water. Now, if the P fell on her. Above ground, okay, that's got to cause enough damage, but in the water, with the
just
water,
also just exactly at the two eyes, none of nowhere near,
yeah, her face was
in
perfectly
her face.
Fine. I mean, she
oh,
still
yeah,
looks like the Dakota
she falls in the water, and then she gets into the hospital. She wakes up in the hospital with bandages on her eyes, and then we get this oh so sweet moment that's not earned, where only family, they're mine, the three of them are mine. And
then there's like, okay, there's a Latina, a black girl, and a white girl, and a white girl. Okay, I'll take it.
And then we cut to the scene where they're visiting her in her condo, and she has these ugly ass glasses, like a 90-year-old's
well,
glasses.
Wasn't is that comic book accurate?
Because I don't fucking care, bro. It doesn't look. It does.
So
I think it's comic book accurate because the comic book, but Madame Web
is
an
old
lady.
Lady.
It's not a.
And the thing is,
horrible.
The wheelchair is almost like they wanted to make it look like Barbara Gordon Oracle type of wheelchair. Maybe it's the same one from.
But dude, those
back
glasses
in the
look
day.
So bad. I
it
don't
looks
know
like
what
welding.
The fuck that was happening.
They couldn't afford to buy a Ray-Ban for
big
this.
Ones like that.
And
or
then
like a Jordi LaForge.
And then we cut into the scene where it looks like. Do you guys remember the 2000 show Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
There's
that
this scene where
to.
He gets into a vision. She has like a vision where he's wearing this new costume, the red costume, and the glasses again. Like why do they have to be that big? It doesn't look like another. This looks so bad. I mean, the three ladies' costumes, they look good and they look hot.
They look good,
they
but
hot.
Again,
they look good, but
them.
it's in the vision.
Except they don't cover any of their faces. Like you know who it is immediately.
You do? I don't know them. Wait, it was still there.
Well, if you've been seeing their faces for the past decade or 20 years, you memorized their face, so you just extrapolated the actual face.
I don't know, like the scene where we see with Ezekiel doing the coin thing, but with a spider on her his fingers. We see Madame Web do it in the end. Like, I don't know why.
And the glove looked horrible.
And then she was standing, but I thought she's in the wheelchair. Like, what the fuck is happening?
So, okay, so here's the thing, too. Okay, so we're at
and
the
that's
end
where
of
it
the
ends.
No end credit scene.
No
I
post
love,
credit
I
scene. I checked as well.
So how did the girls get
I
their
I checked
powers?
As well. I let it run. I played a mission of Helldivers while the credits were running.
But see, the thing is, how did these girls get their powers? So the thing is, like, maybe instead of killing them, prevent how they get the powers.
But no, right? That's not what the last scene was about.
Yeah.
Right?
It's just like, oh, you're just going to be you're going to be model citizens. You're going to stand up for
and
what's
I think
right.
It was,
and like, okay.
The director said, why, like, oh, I didn't. Why didn't we see the girls get their powers? And he's like,
yeah.
Oh, it seemed like too greedy to show four origin stories at once. Like, what the fuck are you talking
at that
about?
Point, why not?
Well, again.
And then this is where, again, if you're going to make like a Madame Web movie, because the Madame Web movie is like, Madame Web is like, her whole thing is like, she's the centerpiece of the Spider-Verse, right? Or something like
the Spider-Sense, yeah.
She has something to do with Spider, the Spider heroes, Spider-Man. There's nothing. Why is the, I mean, at least show us why, why is it important? Why is she, you know, why is she the center of this web of spiders, of these spider people? No, she just got bitten and she has powers, and then I don't know. There's no emphasis. Like, I would have liked it more if they connected that to Peter in a sense that, like, she's holding, she's the connection of all the Spider-Man, you know, not just because her partner's Ben Parker. And then, like, she's,
well, maybe that's part of it. That's, you know, that's part of how the universe wants Peter to be close to Madame Web.
My God, somebody has to sue Sony.
So if you go back to the Spider-Verse, like, it's like a key moment, right? It's like one of those Spider, you know, Oscar Isaac was trying to prevent, like, those are key moments, like Uncle Ben must always die and blah, blah, blah. So where does Madame Web go into that, right? So Sony's really confused. Like, they're not integrating it with the Spider-Verse.
And there's rumors on Twitter, like, they're fighting with Marvel to make it, they want a multiverse movie again for the next Tom Holland movie. And Marvel was, Kevin Feige is like, we just want a down on the streets,
make it
superhero
simple
film. Like, dude, somebody has to do something to Sony. Like, how can you make Across the Spider-Verse and Into the Spider-Verse do this shit with the other, like,
I think this is, if this is not the last straw of
Morbius, least, could have been the last straw.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, we thought that Morbius was going to
be.
It's
not the last one, because we have Kraven coming.
We have Kraven, one more left, and everybody.
And then the Last Dance. Remember the Last Dance?
Well,
I mean, as much as, like, Danny likes Venom, I kind of like Venom too. As much as on a sane planet, Venom would have been the last straw. You know what I mean? It's But we're in this fucked up world where Sony is like,
we have one more Venom.
Venom is the better one.
We have one more Kraven. Well, that's the problem. I think that's the problem. They still make money.
Well, not this one. So
Venom was $1 billion twice.
I know. But Morbius, what did Morbius do?
Morbin time. That's all it did. Like, they got scammed into putting back in theaters, and then nobody.
So I think Morbius and this was a pretty bad loss for Sony.
Yeah,
so
Morbius did double, 83 to 167, but I don't think that's
still bad. I mean, you need to be around 300, 400.
I think it's triple. It should be triple, right?
Triple to be good.
What did Venom do?
Huh?
What did the Venom movies do?
Venom 1 did really good. Venom 1B. 2, I don't think Venom 2 did that. I don't think Venom 2 did a billion. Yeah,
That's what's giving Sony confidence to put out these shitty movies.
Venom, exactly. Venom did half a billion, half a 500.
Because people like Venom in spite itself. You know, it's so stupid. But
I mean,
I want to see Venom just bite some people. You know,
it's kind of like what happened with Fox, right? It's like, so they made the X-Men movies, right? And then all of a sudden they went, I don't know if they went bankrupt or they got bought out by Disney. So is this enough to make Sony's valuation low enough so that Disney will just buy it?
I mean, fucking the actors were trashing it mid press conference.
I mean, I've never seen that before. I typically don't feel bad for actors, but I felt bad for Sydney Sweeney and the two other girls because Dakota knew, okay, I'm just reading lines. I just got paid, whatever. But it seemed like
I feel bad for Adam Scott.
No, I think Adam Scott was like 2 days of shooting and then it's like didn't even know
that. Mean to be associated with
that. Yeah, and he's a nerd. He's the one that freaked out when Luke Skywalker came for his birthday. This is like, I'm finally in the MCU, and they're like, oh, it's a crappy MCU. Not even MCU movie.
I just don't know how as like the head of Sony, like, oh, I'm doing a good job.
Yeah, and the thing is,
I'm doing a good job.
And I understand it's a different time now. We're more of like the post Me Too, blah blah blah. I get that. But one of your actresses is known for her sex appeal. You tried by giving her a short skirt, but and then even like the whole table dancing thing, but you practically didn't even commit to that. And then meanwhile, her other movie that's more raunchy made a whole bunch of money. Even I didn't watch that movie. So I don't know, like you're trying to be not sexist or not sexualizing your characters, but
you can't go there.
You can't go there, but they're teenagers. They're dancing on a table in a diner.
Well, yeah. That's what teenagers do, I guess.
But that's the 2000s.
In the 2000s, like they just randomly dance on a table in front of high school dudes or the,
I don't even think the waiters will allow you to step on.
Exactly. Yeah,
I don't think even dude, I don't even think they can take that three people.
The trucker dude, instead of like, hey kids, get down on that table, they just decide, oh, you know, these three teenagers are the ones who've been kidnapped. Like,
well, to be fair, if I was there, I wouldn't stop them.
That's true.
I mean, 2003, I was like, how old was I? 23? Yeah. That's not the first thing I will just call 911. I'll be like, oh, who's this three chicks dancing on the table?
Well, you just call the manager, and it's like, you're disrupting my business.
Exactly.
You know?
I think, but again, yeah,
Dakota also said something that makes sense. Like, these are movies by committee. And it sucks. There's no vision. There's no... You know?
Yeah, like, exactly. So they don't want to sexualize C.D. Sweeney, which is fair. But they gave her like a schoolgirl outfit and have her dance on the table.
Yeah. No, but I think like the kind ADRs, of like, why are the lines. You're a little fixated to like Sydney Sweeney in this movie. It's like the entire movie is just, you know.
That's why I said thank God for her, because that like at least it's.
No, I think it's there's a certain thing with Sony that you are such a big organization, because again, this is not just the Sony studios, not Sony movies. It's a whole company. Like, it's not just the deals that you're gonna get there. So they use the Sony name to get you get Jared Leto, you get Dakota Johnson, you get all of these giant names.
Matt Smith,
even your 2, 3, 4, 5 people in the call sheet are top names, including like Isabella Merced or like a Sydney Sweeney and an Adam Scott. They keep on saying yes because, like, one, sure, it's a paycheck. Two, yeah, I think they already know at this point that, you know, not all superhero movies is kind of like, all right, I might get 2 or 3 of these, it might be good, it might be bad. I think, in my opinion, I think it's the opposite nowadays, where stars are hoping that it doesn't become an Iron Man or a Thor franchise that is like 8 movies in 10, 15 years, because that will lock you up too long. I think they're looking for 1 to 3 movies so that they can do their passion project. So they're using, agreeing to something like a Sony, which is like, have you seen what Jared Leto's done? Oscar award winning actor. Oscar award winning. 2-time Oscar award winning actor. Morbius. Like, Tom Hardy. I was like, you keep on getting these people, and these people keep on saying yes. So Sony will just keep on making all of these movies. So, but it's happening to Marvel right now too. But at least Marvel has the wherewithal to start, like, you know, it's sad. It's a sad week for MCU for a lot of cancellations of future projects. But at least they know that, hey, you know, the number one idea here is quality of the movie. It's not just like putting something out so that they can keep the rights, because I think they still have to do a Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Universe movie every 2 years
to keep the
rights. Right. So hopefully now with a couple of L's like Morbius and Madame Web. Maybe
I don't think Craven's gonna do any well.
I mean, a lot of people seem to think that Craven might be doing well. Like the insiders say that everybody's happy on set. I actually don't like making him a hero. Like, you know.
Yeah. And is Craven? I mean, okay. From what little I know of Craven back in the day, when I is he easily translatable on film? That look that he's not gonna look like a crazy hunter guy because he's like a big game hunter, right?
Yeah,
he's a big game hunter, and he fights with Spider-Man because Spider-Man. I don't know.
The current synopsis, they've already changed that idea that because like usually Kraven, his thing is like he has hunted every game in the
world
already, so he wants a new challenge. So he's hunting superhero people. Now it's totally different. Now he's just like you know, he has a little bit of powers, like he can commune with the animals. So he's just trying to protect his domain. So yeah, so that's the current, which is a lot weaker because I thought it would have been nicer if he would be hunting actual superhero people, but you know, they've changed it. So the people from the Ringerverse seem to be very, very excited about it. It's like, oh no. Please don't have one more good movie. Please make it bad.
You're encouraging them.
Make it bad. But
so there we have it.
Let's do our final thoughts and ratings so we can put this cinematic masterpiece to bed. Arnie, what is your score for Madame Web?
Well, at least I completed the movie. So 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. I'm going to go 5 too. Like, again, it is...
If it's a direct-to-video movie and it's just popcorn, mindless movie, yeah.
Yeah. The only reason why this got a 5 for me because everybody told me that this is going to be like a 1, a 2, or 3 movie, but it's not. Like, it's just poorly written.
Yeah. Poorly written.
Down you open your eyes. And it's short enough.
It's a 3. No, it's a 3 for me.
Right. It didn't really commit to a single vision like what Chubak said. It was uninspired. I wish they committed to something. They committed to something, but yeah, they didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I have a bad memory for everything in life, but for anything I watch, I usually have a good memory. I watched this yesterday, and it's already fading away.
It's. With movies like Dune coming out with a very at least relatively modest budget, you can really see that it's all about the writing. It's all about the direction.
I mean, even Godzilla Minus One, Oscar, right?
Yeah, and
it's a simple story. Godzilla wrecks Tokyo or Japan.
No, don't spoil me, please. I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's Godzilla.
I don't care. Don't spoil it, please.
Period piece Godzilla, but yeah, I mean that's the idea too. That there's movies like. Past lives where it's all about how you contain your story and your story. Aiden, speaking of Godzilla, it's not a complex story.
Yeah,
it's a very simple story, but it's just like clearly said.
I mean, Monarch made more sense than this movie, and Monarch is I like Monarch. Don't get me wrong, but you know, without showing Godzilla a lot of times, they made a compelling story.
Yeah, it's more of just like, you know, you're again, you guys are right. It's about a singular vision, but also the vision needs to be correct. It needs to make sense. Like, yeah,
story, they tried to make it too much of an origin story. I would have just done it like the comics. Like, I would have focused on the 3 girls and then... Their lives being connected by a mysterious character who is Madame Web. So we don't need to see her origin. Like... We don't need to see her, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's
about them finding out why they're connected, who Madame Web is, and their part in the Spider-Verse.
And people don't need origin stories anymore because...
Spider-Man.
It's a Spider-Man. But I mean, I understand that, you know, the purists will be upset because, you know... Maddie and then Sarah Carpenter or whoever they get their powers from different places. But you can explore that in the next movie, in their individual story.
Or what they could have done is like, well, Ezekiel was hunting them down. They accidentally get their powers, and he accidentally caused that, and then he accidentally caused his death. That would have been fine.
Oh, but that wouldn't be true to the comics, right? So I
so totally what? Understand. It's something.
I don't think this is true to the comics.
So the idea of just make sure that, you know, like Tom Holland, Spider-Man, just plop him into the fucking Avengers movie.
No, I mean,
people end.
I know.
It's and then not... this trilogy was the origin story.
Yeah.
Right?
I know that's the best thing that it did. It wasn't an origin movie, but it was a twist origins trilogy. So that was
even the R-Pat's Batman. He didn't really have an origin story. He's just like, oh, it's Batman.
Yep. But we're tired. We're tired with the origin story.
Like, how many times would you show? Like, okay, even if they cast a new Spider-Man, do we really need to see him get bit by a spider again?
Right? Just give us good stories. It doesn't have to be
exactly. Yeah, I mean. Okay.
Enough of this, Madame Web, please.
That's it for our episode of the Madame Web cinematic masterpiece. Next week, if Arnie gets to watch Dune, we'll discuss that. But we also have a safety on the docket, Argyle, which is out on Netflix right now. Wait, it's not out on Netflix right now. It's out on digital right now. It's out on digital right now. So I'm excited about Argyle because, like, people hate it. Some people were entertained. So I don't know where I'm going to fall. I just know that there's a cat there. So sure. Like in a cat and a backpack.
I mean, it's Henry Cavill, Bryce Dallas Howard, good on the eye. So.
On behalf of Arnie and Trebax and our special guest, Dan, this is our reviews episode. See you in the next week.
Bye. Great.